Otis Gatewood, who was a professor of missions at Harding University's graduate school in Memphis, wrote a wonderful book entitled There Is a God in Heaven. On Sunday evenings, I've been presenting lessons dealing with why we should put our faith in God, not in a godless theory of evolution. Tonight, I'm going to lean on Brother Gatewood's material as he writes about the evidence we find in nature that simply must be considered. The world of animals, insects, fowl, they all provide abundant proof that yes, there is a God in heaven. Solomon, of course, was given the wisdom, the gift of wisdom, but that gift also included incredible understanding about nature, things that no one had ever heard. In 1 Kings 4, verses 29 and following, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Can you imagine the impact Solomon had on all these pagans as he revealed truth about Jehovah God? He shared information with them no one had ever heard. And the end result was that God was glorified and faith was born in the hearts of countless men and women. Job 12, verse 7 and following says, "But now ask the beast, and they'll teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this?" In other words, we find powerful evidence that God lives in what he created. This evening, we're going to let the marvels of God's creation provide incredible testimony that there is in fact a living God in heaven. And he designed all creation. For instance, take the yucca moth. The yucca plant blooms only at night. And the yucca moth flies only at night. As the night falls and the flowers of the yucca plant begin to open, large numbers of yucca moths begin to fly. The female moth lights on one of the open flowers. Sitting astride one of the stamens, she, with her strangely featured feelers, scrapes a mask of sticky pollen from the anther of the flower. She rolls this pollen into a small ball and flies to another plant, which she examines very excitedly. If she's satisfied with her inspection, she settles above the immature seed pod on the base of the pistil. And with the tips of her omnipostor, inserts her eggs among the ovules that will develop to mature seeds. She works her tongue up and down the tube of the pistil using some of the pollen from the ball of pollen she carries in order to be sure that the fertilization of the seed pod takes place. And after finishing her work, she goes to the top of the pistil and with her tongue and feelers crams the ball of pollen into the stigmatic tube at the top of the pistil. All ripe seed pods of the yucca plant show one or more scars from the puncture of the female moth when she deposits her eggs. And so seed pods that are not fertilized by the yucca moth never develop. The larva of the moth develops inside the seed pods, feeding on the young seeds. And finally, it eats its way out of the seed pod and drops to the ground by means of a self-spun silken thread. And there it digs way beneath the surface of the ground, wraps itself into a strong cocoon, and does not emerge until time for the yucca to bloom the following year. Now, I want you to understand, don't miss this. The sole purpose of this moth is to fertilize the yucca, deposit her eggs in the right place, and then die. She never sees her offspring. Now, how does this prove that there is a God in heaven? Like this. Reason tells us that the yucca plant and the yucca moth are not the result of evolution, because both had to be created or come into existence at the same time. Without the moth, the seed of the yucca could never be pollinized. A gradual development of the yucca plant and yucca moth over thousands upon thousands of years simply could not have been possible, because without the one, the other could not exist. This example from nature destroys the theory of evolution and establishes the fact that both were created by a designer at the same time. This is irrefutable evidence that both the yucca plant and the yucca moth were created by an intelligent, all-powerful designer. Another example is the salmon. Salmon live for years in the ocean, but when spawning time arrives, the salmon returns to the same river and to the exact tributary or creek of her birth. She'll even travel up the same side of the river into which flows the water from the tributary where she was born. She leaps waterfalls. She overcomes seemingly impossible obstacles to reach her destination. And if she's taken from that tributary of her birth and placed in another, she'll swim downstream and then back up the correct one. It's here that she spawns and she dies. And the young fish, her offspring, receive no instruction from their parents. The parents are dead. All that the young salmon knows that leads them at spawning time to return to the exact birthplace of their mothers is placed in them by an unchanging intelligence, by an all-powerful designer. They must have this guidance on the first journey, else each stream would not be filled with salmon to this day. And listen to me. This declares that there is a God in heaven who designed and created the salmon. Another example is the eel. The eel migrate at maturity from ponds and rivers of the European and American continents across thousands of miles of ocean to the abysmal depths south of Bermuda. And in those deep waters, the female eel lays her eggs and then dies. The young eel, with no instruction from their parents, return through the great wilderness of the oceans to the exact river or pond where their parents lived. They fight mighty currents and tides and storms and the beating waves of the ocean shore in order to reach the former home of their ancestors. But get this. Even though they're born in the same waters of Bermuda, one thing never happens. American eels are never found in Europe. European eels are never found in America. And because the European eels must travel a greater distance to spawn, they'll live approximately 1 year longer than the American eel to compensate for the difference in the distance they have to travel. You tell me. Who has put within the eel the unerring instinct to return to the right continent and even to the exact river or pond of their predecessors? Is it all by accident? Is all this done by chance? No. Accidents bring chaos, not mind-boggling order, design that we find in nature. The creator of these animals, the intelligent and all-powerful designer, gave them the internal guidance to lead them all those miles to the exact spot their parents live. Again, this is incredible evidence that God exists. And then there's the small wasp. A certain species of wasp captures a grasshopper and then stings him in exactly the right spot to paralyze the grasshopper but not kill it. The female then lays her eggs in him and buries him so that he lives on. But the living grasshopper is simply preserved food which the young wasp will eat when they're hatched. Now, this wasp must have done this exactly right the very first time, or else there'd be no descendants today. Scientists cannot attribute this ability to sting the grasshopper in exactly the right spot to mere chance. Neither she nor her ancestors have reasoned out the process. They didn't discover how to do this by experiment. She does it one time, and then she dies. She doesn't know why she does this, but she's guided unerringly by an intelligent designer who planned and willed it so. There is a God in heaven. The water spider is another example. Water spiders are air-breathing insects, and yet they live underwater. Now, in order to do this, a waterproof nest must be constructed capable of containing enough air for breathing purposes. A balloon-shaped nest of cobweb is fashioned, open underneath for entrance and exit. And then it's attached to some object beneath the surface of the water. The hind legs of the water spider are covered with hair so delicately constructed that a bubble of air can be carried down into the water. And then the spider releases the air beneath the opening of the cobweb. The air rises to the top and replaces the corresponding quantity of water. And this process, can you imagine how many times it has to be repeated before that nest is filled with air? The female then lays her eggs in the upper part of the cobweb and surrounds them with a cocoon. They hatch, of course, and then they breathe fresh air. they're protected from their enemies that live on the surface of the water. What does all that teach us? First of all, to live this way, the water spider must be able to secrete a waterproof web. But it must be spun into a watertight and airtight cobweb. And then the spider must know how to deliberately carry water bubbles underneath the water. With such an extraordinary manner of life and the highly specialized order to do it, could this be done just by chance? This all had to be done perfectly the first time it was done, or else there would be no more water spiders. Is it logical to conclude that the spider needed to be designed and created with these abilities and the know-how to do what they do? Listen to me. God was that intelligent designer. There is a God in heaven. David began Psalm 14 with these simple words. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. David's son Solomon astounded the world with information about the design of creation. Again, 1 Kings 4:33. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar trees of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. All of these things, in fact, every living thing shouts the same message. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There was once a man who stumbled in the darkness and fell at the edge of a cliff. He was fortunate enough to fall on a limb of a scraggly small tree growing out of the side of that cliff. And he held onto to the small trunk of that tree, knowing that he could not keep his grip for long. A friend on top of the cliff assured him that he was going to be okay. He told him he'd rappelled down that cliff many times, and that just below him was a flat spot, a ledge, where a huge rock jutted from the face of the cliff. The man holding on that limb looked down, but all he could see was the darkness. And his friend continued to assure him that all he had to do was turn loose of the tree and drop a foot or so to the ledge. Finally, he trusted his friend, and he turned loose, dropping 10 or 12 inches to safety. Now here's a question. Did this man take an illogical blind leap of faith? In other words, was there no evidence that the ledge was directly below him? Well, he didn't take a foolish, illogical blind leap of faith with no reason to believe that a ledge was below him. He did take a leap of faith based on evidence worthy of his trust. A friend who had been there before. Well, we do the same thing as we fully trust in the evidence that God is. We walk by faith. But our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And as we have seen tonight, nature, the plants, the animals, the insect, the fish, they all reveal that there is a God in heaven who designed all that we see. In fact, he designed it all the way down to the DNA. Every living thing on the planet has a book contained within, if you will, in the DNA. It's the book of life for that living thing, whether it's a plant, an animal, whatever it is. Every living thing has DNA. Why? God designed it. And so as you leave here tonight, be assured there is overwhelming evidence that your faith in God is absolutely legitimate. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.